Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God. The message tonight, Church of the Firstborn. Church of the Firstborn. Let's begin with Hebrews chapter 12, 14 to 17. The Bible says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Esau was the firstborn son. The birthright was his. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing came with the birthright. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And then Hebrews 12, 22 to 25. But you have come to nine things that we have come to in Christ under the new covenant. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to an innumerable company of angels, the ministering spirits, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect because of the perfect sacrifice of Christ. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Church of the firstborn. In Christ, we are all members of the church of the firstborn. And the firstborn in Scripture, like Esau and others, the firstborn in the Old Testament had a very distinct privilege, a special place with the Father, a special place in the family, a special inheritance that other sons and daughters did not receive. This firstborn inheritance was very, very important. It was an outstanding gift of God to a firstborn son. The Bible says we have come to the church of the firstborn. We all have a place of high privilege with the Lord. But the apostle warns us. He says, lest there be anyone among us like Esau, who was profane, he was a fornicator, and he lost the birthright and the blessing and the goodness of God. And so there's a call on our lives that we have to guard the birthright, guard the position and the inheritance of the firstborn in our lives, lest there be. Now, the firstborn privilege had to do with three things. Number one, it had to do with rulership. Number one, the birthright, the blessing of a firstborn, had to do, first of all, with rulership. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life, will reign as kings in life through the one Jesus Christ. We're part of the church of the firstborn. God says, I have a privilege for you. It's called rulership. You can reign as kings in life by one Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, 5 to 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, the political powers, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The right of rulership. We are kings and priests unto God. Priests minister and kings reign. Kings rule. God says, I want you to rule over circumstances. I want you to rule over the spirit of this world. I want you to rule over the flesh. Esau was a man who had no rule over his own spirit, as Proverbs said. He had no rule over his own spirit. The Bible says those that do not have rule over their own spirit are like a city that gets broken down and without walls. And that's how Esau ended. A city that was broken down without walls. God wants us to take on that rulership. We're part of the church of the firstborn. Now it says of Esau two things. Number one, that he was profane. He was a profane person. That simply means common. He did not value spiritual things. He did not put a high priority on worship and seeking the Lord and learning the word of the Lord. Now Esau had a tremendous privilege. It should have been, or could have been, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, because he was the firstborn son. But he was profane. He treated the things of God with disrespect, with indifference. Whether he showed up in the presence of God or didn't, that was fine by him. Whatever suited him for the moment. And because of that, he lost the blessing of God. But he was also something else. The Bible says he was a fornicator. He lost the blessing of the firstborn. He was one who wasn't concerned about the things of the Spirit and holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, Genesis 25, verses 29 to 35. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Be careful when you're weary. Sometimes the path is more slippery than other days, and you have to be more careful, don't you? He was weary, and Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom, meaning red. The stew was red. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me? What are the things of God to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Despised his birthright. And it was no longer his. It went to Jacob. Because Jacob had a heart after God. And he was yearning for the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wanted to follow the Lord. He wanted to serve God. God makes sure the birthright and the blessing get on the right son. Now Esau was profane. He treated the things of God lightly, with indifference. But the Bible says he was also a fornicator. Now there was another son in Scripture, a firstborn. His name was Reuben. Genesis 35, 22. He had the right of the firstborn, the birthright and the blessing. Genesis 35, 2, the Bible says, "And it happened when Israel dwelt in that land," that is Jacob, "that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Jacob heard about it." Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Reuben had the rulership. Reuben had the birthright. Reuben had the blessing in that family. Genesis 49, 3 to 4, Jacob at the end of his days was prophesying over his sons, speaking over them. He said, "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power." Wow. "Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it." And Jacob is still in disbelief. So many, many, many years later, he said, "He went up to my couch." 1 Chronicles 5:1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Reuben was indeed the firstborn. But because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the firstborn of Rachel. Reuben was the firstborn of Leah. So that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. He forfeited the birthright. Lest there be any among you, the writer of the Hebrews said, like Esau, like Reuben, men that have such great potential, excellency, and might, and the power of rulership, and they sell it out for a momentary pleasure of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. The KJV puts it in two words, flee fornication. It's that concise. You don't have to say anymore. Flee fornication. And so here I am tonight with this word in my spirit. Anything illicit in any form, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And maybe there's somebody here tonight, as I feel it, that's under some temptation in this area. The word of the Lord is coming to you tonight to save you, to spare you, so you can keep the firstborn potential and you can keep the inheritance and you can keep the blessing of God on your life. Flee fornication. God wants us to rule and reign in life. And this area of the flesh is one of the main areas where people fall. And God says, that's the area that I want to touch in my people, that they are a holy people. They are sanctified. They know how to possess their vessel, their physical body, in honor and righteousness, and marry in an appropriate way, and grow up in the house as children and young men and young women, and keep themselves pure for the glory of God and for the future upon their lives. Church of the firstborn. Number one, rulership. Number two, the double portion. Genesis 48, 21 to 22. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. One portion above. The portion of the firstborn, the person who had the firstborn privilege, received a double portion of the father's inheritance. And you can see it here, one portion above. So if a father was giving out some inheritance and he had four sons, and he wanted to give $10,000 each to his sons, he'd give $10,000 to the second, third, and fourth born. The firstborn would receive $20,000, a double portion. God says, he's a God of the double portion for his people. Now, it doesn't only work out in the natural in the Bible, but it was spiritual as well. There was a double portion for those who yearned after it if they walked in the power of a firstborn son. We know the story of Elisha and Elijah in 2 Kings 2, and let's take a look at it tonight. Elisha, under Elijah, so yearning for the blessing of God. 2 Kings 2, verse 8, So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. I want the portion of a firstborn son. I'm yearning after the blessing of God. I want nothing more in life than to walk with God and have him administrate my life and guide me. So Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Some people want it easy. Easy spiritual development. Not too much warfare. Float in and get the blessing of God. Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen, and it's horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces, and he picked up the mantle of Elijah. The double portion is something that goes into our spirit. It's a spiritual thing in our lives. And here was Elisha wanting the portion of a firstborn son. Church of the firstborn, we need to desire a double portion of God's Spirit upon our lives. And it's not an easy thing. It's a hard thing. It calls for travail and tears. It calls for intercession. It calls for the Word of God to become a living, burning fire in our bones. It calls for dedication and consecration to the living God with all our living powers. Elijah couldn't give the double portion to Elisha just because he was his son, his understudy. He'd been around for so many years. It's not in the hands of men. It's not in the hands of fathers and mothers who can give a double portion to a son or daughter. It's in the power of the living God. And Elijah said to Elisha, Elisha, if you have developed your spiritual sensitivities, if you have called on God, if you have honed your spirit and your love for God, and you've poured out your spirit into the living God in such a manner that you will be able to see, that you can see into the realm in which I see, the mantle will be yours. And the moment came, and the heavens opened, and the horses and chariot of fire came down, sweeping down from heaven, right down on the earth beside the two men. And Elijah hopped on, and he was gone. And he looked back, and there was Elijah. My father, I see it, the horsemen of Israel and the chariot thereof. And Elisha dropped the mantle. And Elisha picked it up and walked on in the power of God. The double portion. It's something we cry after. It's something we long after. Jacob, second born, but he got the portion and the blessing of the firstborn. I will not let you go unless you bless me. God, I will not let you go until you bless me. And God blessed them there, the Bible says. Jacob received second born. You know, sometimes the first shall be last and the last first, depending on the heart after God. Joshua, as a young man, was in the tabernacle, the temporary structure with Moses before the real tabernacle was set up. And the Bible says the cloud of glory came down and filled that little tabernacle, that little tent. And there were Moses and Joshua in the tent. And Moses had to attend some matters. So he got up and left the tent after meeting with God. And the Bible says Joshua stayed in the temple in the glory of God. He stayed in the tabernacle and called on God. He lingered in the presence. And Joshua came out in the nation with the blessing of a firstborn son. David, one thing have I desired after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David, the portion of a firstborn son came upon him. The blessing of God came upon him. He was eighth in the family. He was one of eight brothers. The seven brothers before him didn't even consider him much of a man or anything, like not much is going to take place with him. He just keeps a few sheep out in the wilderness. But David had a heart after God, and sometimes the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And God said, David, I'm giving you the blessing of the firstborn. You're going to walk in rulership and you're going to walk in the anointing. Ruth, may a full reward be given you from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. It was Orpah and Ruth. It wasn't Ruth and Orpah, it was Orpah and Ruth. And all of a sudden, it's Ruth, and Orpah fades off the scene, and Ruth walks on in the power of the living God. Sometimes the first are last, and the last are first, depending on the heart and the hunger and the cry after God. Well, we're the church of the firstborn. Let's hunger for the anointing. Let's call out on God. Let a double portion of your spirit rest upon me. And may it rest on our families. And may it rest on our sons and daughters. And may it rest on this house of God. Church of the firstborn. Privilege of rulership. Second, a double portion of the spirit. Number three, the blessing. A word of favor. the blessing, a word of favor. Along with the birthright came the blessing. We see it again in Hebrews 12, 17. For you know that afterward, when Esau wanted to inherit the blessing, he despised the birthright, sold it off for some carnal pleasure and satisfaction. But now he wanted the blessing. The blessing came with the birthright. The Bible says he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Though he sought it diligently with tears, it was too late. The blessing of God, the blessing of God, the word of favor on a person's life. Listen to it in Genesis chapter 27 over Jacob. Therefore, verses 28 to 29, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. The word of the Lord came over him. The word of the Lord over a firstborn son, not firstborn in the natural, because Esau was before him, but firstborn in the spirit, the word of the Lord over him. Genesis chapter 49, verse 25, the word over Joseph. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate, distinguished because of his heart for God, distinguished from his brothers. What a word of the Lord from his father Jacob over Joseph, prophesying, speaking the blessing of God. He had the portion of the firstborn. He had the double portion. He had rulership in the family, and he had the blessing of God over his life. What is it that God is saying over your life? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Have you come so close to the Father that you know what he's saying about you and the thoughts he has and the plans and the desires he has for you? That you receive what he's saying, his love, his outpouring, his grace, his word, his desire, his longing in your life and after you, to walk in the power of a firstborn son and daughter, to rule and reign in life, to walk knowing you have a double portion of the Spirit, to know there's a blessing, an outstanding word of favor on your life. Don't curse your fig tree. Receive the word of the Lord. Isaiah said, you will receive a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. The Lord will put a new name on you. It doesn't matter what people have said about you. It doesn't matter what you have said about yourself in your misery, in your trial, in your frailty, in your infirmity, in the brokenness that you've experienced in life. It doesn't matter about those voices. If you will take the blessing of a firstborn and say, God, I'm part of the church of the firstborn, not because of anything I've done, but here's my desire, but because of everything you've done, you have poured out your spirit. You've made me part of the church of the firstborn. I receive your word. I open my ears to hear what you say about me so I can walk in that favor and in that voice and in the power of that word. Let's have the worship team come. Psalm 40 in verse 5. O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If I would declare and speak of them, what do you speak about during the day? What do you say about your life? What do you say about your circumstances? What do you say about your disposition and what you're facing and what God has for you? God has words. They're more than can be numbered. His thoughts and his promises are more than can even be declared. And if we want the blessing of God, we take that word of favor. We take that word of the Lord over our lives and walk in it. Psalm 139, 17 to 18. How precious also are your thoughts to someone else, O God. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, you're still thinking of me. I am still with you. You're still thinking of me. Church of the firstborn, what a privilege, what an honor, what a potential, what a destiny upon each one of us to live a life full of the Spirit, ruling and reigning in life by Jesus Christ. Even when we have enemies to deal with, we're like Jesus. I rule in the midst of my enemies. Walk on in the power of God. Walk on in the blessing of the Lord. Take hold of it while you're young, young in the faith and young in years. Yearn after the portion of the firstborn. Yearn after the blessing. Yearn after the double portion upon your life. Well, let's close with Psalm 89, 27 to 29. I mean, this is, I don't know if it gets any better than this. Psalm 89, 27 to 29. Also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed, his descendants, his children also will I make to endure forever. They're going to heaven. And his throne, what? As the days of heaven? As the days of heaven on earth, so full of the presence and purpose and power of God. Listen, this word went out to King David. But it went beyond King David. It went to the greater King David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We heard the word of the Lord this morning. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that colt, that donkey, weeping. People were shouting and praising him. But as he made his way up into the city, tears were pouring down his face as he wept over the city. He said, oh, if only you had known the things that belong to your peace. I want to bring you peace. So we saw the amplified security and safety and stability. But he said, you didn't receive it. You didn't open your eyes. If you knew in this your day, the things that belong to you, the things that I want to do in your life and in your family and in your future, if you would know them, my, the peace of God that would come upon your life. What a promise. In Psalm 89, let's bring that back for a moment. What a promise. And I will make you my firstborn. I'll make you a firstborn son and daughter, God says. This is for us because we're of the seed of David. We're of the seed of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. We are also the seed of David. We are kings and princes and princesses. We are people of God because we're in Christ. We're the seed of Christ. This promise applies to every one of us. God says, also, I will make you my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. It doesn't matter where people live in this earth. There are politicians. There are men of might. There are celebrities. There are people that reign in this world, and the world worships them and bows at them, and they have everything they want and more than they could ever spend. God says, no matter what kind of a life they have, I'm making you higher than the kings of the earth. That's where you're going to live. You're going to live higher than anybody on earth because you live in my presence and you walk by my word. My mercy will I keep for you forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with you. Your seed also will I make to endure forever, and I will make your throne. Come on, let's rule and reign in life. I will make your throne, God says, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Church of the firstborn. Wow. Church of the firstborn. Let's take it in tonight. Let's take it in by the Holy Spirit. And if there is some adjustment that needs to be made, let's make adjustment and follow God like a Jacob, like a Joshua, like a David. Let's leave the Esau. Let's leave the Reubens behind. Let's leave that mix of people behind and say, I'm going for God with all my heart. I'm all in till it's all over. Let's stand tonight and surrender to the Lord. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to you in some distinct way, and you feel you need to be at the altar. Come and separate your life unto God. Please slip out from where you are. Come and reconsecrate yourself. Rededicate yourself to the Lord. Don't let anything rob you of the firstborn privilege and right and glory upon your life. Hallelujah.